Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical anti-capitalist approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Everyone, welcome to the 82nd episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. It's a pleasure to bring you another episode about a really important topic with a really knowledgeable and committed and inspiring guest, Dana from Holistic Abortions and the Red Door Collective, sharing about reproductive wisdom, knowledge, body literacy, and herbs to be used for abortion as well. I hope you will be interested in checking out Dana's work. And thanks to the patrons, as always, I was able to send a payment towards their work to help fund their abortion doula work in their communities. This eclipse season has been really awakening. As we move towards the North Node in Taurus, I'm thinking a lot about all the placements that we have in Taurus that are set to evolve and all the placements in Scorpio we have set to diminish. That's not exactly the way it is, but it's how it feels. And I am working on writing a little bit of my own feelings and realizations around this nodal axis that we're moving towards, especially because it's the nodal axis we'll be in during the pinnacle of the United States Pluto return happening next year. And I'm going to still be releasing that part of that class for download later this month, and the zine will be coming out. I'm working on an article about how the North Node in Taurus is going to be affecting the Pluto and Scorpio generation during this next year. And I'm excited to read the contributions of my students as well. So that zine will be available later this month, as well as the class. And just to give a heads up, the apothecary is pretty well stocked right now. I just restocked some flower essence blends, including May We Rise, Inner Child Time Travel, and Queens Don't Burn Out. And the next few days, I'm going to be releasing a bittersweet oxymil for liver detox made with fresh burdock, oranges, and cinnamon, and a fire cider I made with prickly pears and a lot of ginger and grapefruit. So I'm really excited about that. So definitely check out the apothecary. It's definitely a great way to support the work of the podcast as well and the mutual aid work that I do. So check it out. You can also consider subscribing to the Patreon. A pledge of only $5 a month is really helpful in sustaining this work and also gets you access to a lot of extra content like the flower essence case studies that I'm doing. So if you join, you can apply to do a flower essence case study and I'll be happy to have you. And it's just a great way to support the show. I know economic times are hard and there's a lot of people that need a lot of support right now. But if you're someone that can comfortably donate $5 or more a month to this podcast, that would be so appreciated and amazing. I'm here in my office in Old Town Yucca Valley, California, in the high desert. And we're going to be having our first opening event here next week, Thursday, December 9th, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. I'm going to be making mocktails of herbal syrups and flower essences. We're also going to have a tea bar, mulled cider. Vanessa Santos, Ancient Pocket, is going to be doing tarot readings. My friend Dusty is going to be selling art and vintage and Sunny is going to be selling her animal medicine cards and doing free one card readings as well. I'm really excited that I have this space. It's been an interesting journey. I didn't really plan when I went and took my sabbatical this summer to have an office space, although I've been looking for one for a couple of years because running your own business from home can be really challenging in terms of energetic boundaries. So I feel really grateful and blessed to have this space and just want to utilize it for as much community support as I can. So if you're in or around the High Desert, I hope to meet you. Come check it out. And also if you're going to be visiting the High Desert this week, But if you're going to be visiting the High Desert this winter or next spring, let me know if you want to come by, pick up some plant potions, schedule a tarot reading. My books are currently closed through February, but I will be excited to meet with people after that in this space. I did a little bit of my own research this last week, a little of my own astrological research, I should say, not academic research. And I decided to pull up the day, and I mentioned this because this episode is a lot about abortion and abortion access. About 9.5, almost 10 years ago, I tried to give myself an herbal abortion, did not work. I did not know what I was doing. My knowledge was limited. My support was limited. But I became really passionate about it after that. And I had been passionate. That was actually the way that I got into herbal medicine back in like 2007. I started getting really interested 2006, 2007 in using herbs and plant medicine for my mental health. But then also because we were dealing with like a second term of George W. Bush. At that time, there was like a lot of fear that we were going to lose access to reproductive health. Sad to say, 15 years later, we're not looking at anything more hopeful by any stretch of the imagination. But during that time, I became really fascinated with using herbal medicine as a contraceptive. And I admittedly, I was kind of a young, idealistic person with a lot of unchecked privilege, as many of us are at age 25. But I always felt so called to working with plants to support us in situations which the state would fail to support us. So anyway, I went and looked at the day when I started my abortion because I ended up having to get an RU486 in a pharmacy in a foreign country I was in, which wasn't labeled or marked as the abortion pill. It was marked for some other use. That was the moment of my exact Saturn return. And I had never known that. That was the exact moment that my Saturn return was exact, was the week, the couple of weeks that I was trying to have an herbal abortion and it wasn't working and ended up having to do this really painful and stressful procedure pretty much all on my own with very little support. And that was a really formative experience to who I am today. It was a great invocation of grief, of loss, physical and emotional pain, but also empowerment and an initiation as well. And I think a lot of times those painful, difficult moments in our lives can initiate us to show up better in our communities. So I just wanted to share that. I wanted to write about it, but then I was thinking like, wow, my conversation with Dana from Holistic Abortions is the next episode coming up. Maybe I'll talk about it then. So definitely check out Dana's work, join their Patreon, support them. So much work in the community that's so important, that's so needed, that we need more of, that I hope to be able to engage in more fully in the years that come. So I hope everyone loves this episode. Please reach out if you have anything to share, if you need any support. And yeah, if it's sustainable for you, please join the Patreon and you can join the Discord and be more in community with us. I'm here today with Dana from Holistic Abortions. Hi, Dana. Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. Thank you for being here.
Oh, hi. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. It's great to have you. So for those of you, for those out there listening who aren't really aware of your work or what you do, or, you know, being a abortion educator, abortion doula, et cetera, can you just share a little bit about what you do, about yourself, how you got into what you're doing, et cetera?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I just wanted to really say thanks for letting us come on and have this conversation. I know it's vulnerable and it can be polarized, and it's just really important to be having this. So I'm really grateful to be here. My name is Dana, and I have a lot of different sort of labels that, depending on where, what track we're on, I can fall into, but in short, I'm an herbalist. I would do work as an abortion doula, and I'm also an artist. I'm a witch. And all of those sort of identities and labels have come together and culminated in my most recent sort of endeavor and project of Holistic Abortions. So Holistic Abortions is this passion project that has been in the making for a really long time. And it's, you know, I've done work in collaboration with some other individuals where we really focused on educating around gynecological care and abortion care outside of the clinics. And it was pretty medical and very helpful as kind of like a resource for trainings and for teachings. And but then, yeah, with Holistic Abortions, it's more of this sort of combination of bringing in herbalism and talking about like where that intersects with abortion and fertility management, both like in the clinic and out of the clinic. And so, yeah, it was just this sort of need to fill a gap that I felt was there, that we felt was there around a lot of people wanting information, seeking information, and then what is out there feeling really unreliable, or unhelpful. So a lot of what we're doing is sort of creating some resources, but also, you know, working with clients, because that's really how we like are building our best knowledge bases, is when we work together and we share our sort of embodied experiences and our embodied knowledge that we gain. So yeah, working with people and bringing in a more holistic approach to their pregnancy release, to their abortion, finding ways to sort of integrate in complementary therapies to their process.
Amazing. It's such important and vital work in these times. You have this zine called Grow Your Own Abortion. And I found your work on Instagram under Holistic Abortions, and you make these really helpful and awesome infographs that people can share. And I notice, you know, you've got your newest project is Holistic Abortions. And then also, you know, the zine is by the Red Door Collective. Do you want to just speak to a little bit about like the difference in those projects?
It's kind of some of the differences are the folks that are coming and going and contributing into those projects. The Red Door is geared more towards resource building, whereas the Holistic Abortions is about sort of general education and getting information out and into the public, the general public, as well as then serving clients one-on-one. We work with people sort of across the spectrum of what they're seeking, and we do everything by donation base. So yeah, just fielding in the folks who come in, and as compared to the Red Door that has sort of been the producer of these different zines, there's the Grow Your Abortion zine. There's also one a simple guide for like self-pelvic exams and like abortion history, and sort of really trying to put our current abortion experiences and political climate into a historical perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. So important. And I was curious, like, if you're comfortable sharing about a bit about your origin story into this work, because I think it's interesting the way, you know, this is such vital work that has been done forever. It's always been done in all Indigenous cultures and groups. And I'm just curious if you are comfortable sharing anything about why you felt called to this work and like what your origin story of, especially like as an herbalist, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely like this sort of social and political drive and feeling like a responsibility, but also it's definitely a personal sort of journey and a personal project, passion project to move into. So around and it's so interesting because it when I was thinking about what is my origin story, it's like it goes so far back, right? Because it is this culmination of all these different identities and all these different aspects of myself that I had been that seemingly didn't think I didn't think they would be like so intertwined 10 years later, and yet here we are. So it's like, you know, I never really went to the doctor growing up. I always that wasn't something that really happened. I grew up in a rural place. There was one family doctor for everyone, but I was also like, that person was a friend of the family, so you weren't really going to him with any sort of like private issues. And then, yeah, as an adult, I got bit by a tick, and I had a lot of complications from it, and I got diagnosed with this, like, it's a cofactor disease to Lyme, so it's not Lyme's, but, like, for every 10,000 cases of Lyme's, there's one case of this disease, so there's not a ton of information, and I tried to get, you know, support through the medical system and worked with some specialists, but they didn't really have much information, and the tools that they had were very limited. Like, here's your antibiotic, take this for 3 months, and then check back with us. And so, yeah, they just didn't have the information. I didn't have insurance to be like seeing specialists, and I just felt like, oh, this isn't working for me. And so I started looking into herbal medicine and doing like a ton of my own sort of research to understand like, why is this, what is going on in my body, and like, how do we address it? And so, yeah, I spent a lot of time doing sort of individual trainings and lots of like mentorships with different herbalists. I was also like living out of my vehicle at the time. And so I was able to go into different regions. That was part of my goal, is like, I wanted to study herbs in like all these different regions to connect with different plants and see how medicine worked in different places. And so, yeah, I was just kind of doing my own work around that and pulling in lots of different viewpoints and working with lots of people. And then like 6 or 7 years ago, I decided that like, okay, I want to do the herbalist thing. And so I kind of fell into this, a trap, the trap of like colonial thinking and like, I need to get certified. And so I went to this program and I was like, going to do the clinical herbalist program. And, you know, it has downfalls, and it was definitely that mindset that got me there. But it was also really, really helpful. It gave me some amazing tools for like a sort of a deeper understanding of how the body worked and like the physiology and like, yeah, the phytochemistry of plants moving through the body. So like it gave this very different perspective on herbalism that I hadn't gotten yet. And so I was in this program, and then, you know, the parallel trajectory being that I was also doing a lot of sort of like casual or occasional like fundraising and raising just sort of general awareness of abortion and abortion access. And so this was like, you know, when a lot of these trap laws were coming out that were just shutting down clinics for reasons that had nothing to do with safety, or it was like the hallways are too narrow, we're going to shut down your clinic. And so there was a lot of politics around the time, and I was, you know, I was doing some fundraising and clinic escorting and all this, right? But then that year that I went into clinical herbalism was I found myself pregnant. And I went and I made an appointment at a clinic. It was, you know, pretty unremarkable. Like, you had to wait a couple of weeks. I went in. It was a long day. It was the middle of winter. It was freezing. It was very cold in there. And yeah, it was like, it wasn't bad, but it also was just kind of left me feeling pretty crummy. Like there were protesters and there's like armed guards. And yeah, it was just, it much like sort of my experience in the medical system decade before or two decades before, like it just left me being like, ugh, this is it? Like, this is what I've been like working for or fundraising for? Like, we can do better than this. And so it was like this moment of like disillusionment that made me be like, okay, yeah, how can we improve this? And so then when I found myself pregnant again, I was more willing to say like, okay, I'm willing to like try some other things. And know like that clinic is a backup. It's great to have that clinic, right? Like it is definitely a safety net. And I had, because of my first experience and feeling like, how can we improve on this? I had already been sort of asking around and like within my program about like, what herbs are used? How do we use herbs to support? And there was just like stone cold silence. Like, we do not talk about that.
Yeah.
It was like, even if we weren't even talking about like herbal abortions, even just saying the word abortion and talking about like, how do we support someone afterwards or before? Nothing. There was just so much fear around like losing sort of this legitimacy, this perceived legitimacy, right, that they've gotten at this table of medicine. And so, yeah, I'd just been like looking and did connect with some folks. And when I was pregnant the second time, I had gotten this sort of general formulation from somebody who, you know, had some experience, but really just trusted me to like say like, here you go, like this is what we know, you're an herbalist, you can try it out. And yeah, just said like, it's very unlikely that you're going to like hurt yourself if you're like listening to your body and you stop when you feel really crummy. And so, you know, I tried using these herbs. You know, it was kind of like this list of herbs and what they do in the body. And I was like, okay, this, and this, these all look good and strong. And I have, you know, like they make sense to me. Looking back, I would change lots of things about how I chose my herbs. I definitely picked them based off of like the strongest. And I took like very exact doses and I was waking up in the middle of the night. And like, because I have this autoimmune issue, like not sleeping all night really like screwed me up, you know, like I gotta have good sleep. And so, yeah, that was definitely like this challenge. And I was like, I'm going to do this, right? This is going to like prove that I'm connected to these herbs. And like, I had this whole vision of like what it would be. And there was a lot of emotions attached to it. And, you know, the plan was to take them for 10 days and just see what happens. But I didn't really do great on that formula. Like I said, I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't really eating. I was having like a lot of emotional issues with my partner at the time. And I was just like, oh my God, I am a mess. Like I wasn't able to go through the full 10 days. And I stopped, I think at like 4 or 5 days. And just decided to terminate and be sort of done. And yeah, I finished with a medication abortion, but that experience was just like so much more fueling for me. Like, why isn't this information out there? We know we've had this for thousands of years, and like, it should be easier to access. And so, yeah, part of my sort of, this inspiration or this drive was like, I want to find this info. I need to research it. I want to share about it. Mm-hmm. I want to find out and like fill these gaps. I wanted to sort of connect with my ancestors that most certainly use this as part of how they manage fertility. And yeah, it was just like the sort of realizing the immensity of that lost knowledge. It was just, it was like devastating. It's like the more I realized, more I learned, the more it became clear like what was lost, and like connecting all of these dots, all these like big issues to this sort of specific issue of like the role of patriarchy and the church and white supremacy and like the burning times and the medical association, right? Like all these roles that culminated to destroy this knowledge, like really intentionally, which like just made the rebel in me be like, fuck off, I'm gonna find it. Like, like, you can't take this all away. And so it's just been sort of endless to keep growing this knowledge and connecting it. So yeah, that's been a big part of it. And it's like also realizing sort of my social responsibility of like, you know, it's like all people, all sort of indigenous folks and continents, all of our ancestors have used herbs for fertility. Mm-hmm. I think that is pretty undeniable. And it's also very clear that it was white supremacy and patriarchy that tried to bury it and burn it and burn us and, you know, really just take that ability to control our bodies and our lives away from us. And then, you know, it's also very undeniable that it was Black and Indigenous folks that have been carrying this knowledge and have mm-hmm. protected it and resisted with it while under this like constant assault of colonialism. And so there's a couple of good resources I wanted to note around that if folks are interested. There's a really great article by Karen Culpepper, and it's Cotton Root Bark as Resistance for Enslaved Peoples of America. That one's really good. And then, you know, there's also some information around the enslaved folks of Haiti that also used it's a peacock flower, the seeds of the peacock flower. And they were also using that in the same way to sort of resist slavery, right? And so that's been like really important to acknowledge and center in my work. And it's also like, it's not lost on me that I'm like a cis white woman, like giving, like, here's some of this knowledge that I'm finding, right? This And it's uncomfortable, right? Like, I just want to kind of like name that out, that it makes me think of this story. Like, when I was young, my family had those like decorative plates, which a thing of the 80s, right? But and they were like all up above the cupboards in the kitchen. And there was one that I always really liked. It was a little girl drinking tea with animals, you know. And I decided I wanted to play with it one day. And like sometimes they would like let us play it at the table with them, but no one was around. And I like literally had to like push the chair up, crawl on the counter, put something on the counter, crawl on the counter, and then like grab this plate and like took it outside and played in the yard with it and at the playhouse. And you know, I knew I shouldn't have this. I shouldn't be doing this. This isn't mine. It was an antique. I was like, and I was screwing around with it. And of course, it broke. And like that sort of feeling of like having to bring back in like all these broken pieces and be like, I'm sorry, here it is. Like, I know I had no business screwing around with it. It's like that same feeling like that I get. And so, you know, part of my personal responsibility and social responsibility, even though it's like, I know this is broken and fucked up, but like here's some of the pieces that we're finding by using the sort of colonial, like we're filtering through these colonial tools, right? Like what books survived, how they've been translated, and like what words have been switched, right? And so having to filter through all of that in order to like give back something useful. And so yeah, that's also a big part of why, you know, when we're working with people, it's done with like no cost, or if somebody can donate, they can, but there's like no pressure to do so, where it's like, yeah, you can't charge for food off of a broken plate. And yeah, it's also such a vulnerable time for a lot of people that also just putting a dollar price on that feels a little gross. Which is part also like that's why we do other like resources and trainings, and like we still have to eat, right? But when we're working with clients, we don't charge. So yeah.
Wow, thank you for sharing all of that. There were so many layers there. Just about, the evolution of you doing this work for yourself and wanting to offer it to others, and the acknowledgement of BIPOC knowledge and colonization and how we lost a lot of these practices. I just really appreciate you sharing all the complexities around this, because it is something I think that gets really lost in these really sanitized narratives that we see on mainstream news, which I don't even really pay attention to, but just these the language and the discussion around abortion and reproductive rights are so disconnected from the reality of what it is to actually be in a body. And I think, yeah, it's like you being you doing it, and then trying out different herbal formulas, and then ending up going the medical route. I had a similar experience where it was 2012 for me, and I was pregnant in a foreign country where abortion was illegal, and I tried to do the herbal route at first, and I was really gathering a lot of knowledge from a lot of people, like in the community that I was living in at the time, and from in with friends back home. But it was hard to do it by myself. It was really hard to do it by myself, and I ended up getting a hold of the RU 486 and doing, because it was sold in that country as like a migraine or like an ulcer medication or something. So I ended up doing it that way. But it definitely ignited in me like the desire. And I think after that, I became the kind of friend to all my uterus having friends if they were like, oh, I think, you know, I was like having sex last night and the condom broke, or like we didn't use a condom, I would immediately be like, parsley, do you want parsley? Like, I would immediately just be like, how do I show up for this person? You know, because I know how stressful this is. Yeah, thank you. And I think these conversations and these stories, there's a reason they're hard for us to tell. And there's a reason they're so stigmatized. Because again, it's that like disconnection from body that is so prevalent in white supremacy and colonialism and patriarchy as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, white folks, especially, you know, we always have to be aware of like the way colonialism shows up in our own mentalities. So yeah, definitely like, thanks for the acknowledgement of all the work of BIPOC. So that's my little tangent that I wanted to share after hearing your story. But I wanted to ask you, you know, because with all, you know, the laws in Texas, and other states trying to follow in suit, can you talk a little about the importance of both having trained herbalists and or trained abortion doulas, but then also having making sure uterus having people are attaining reproductive literacy for themselves?
Thank you for sharing your story and how that sort of ignited in you this desire to also show up for your community. I think that a lot of people have went through this experience. Feel a similar sort of responsibility, or maybe not even responsibility, but there is a shift around even just like how sharing your story has such an impact and can start to chip away at the stigma and the isolation that that has come with this experience historically or coming up to now. So thank you. But yeah, the question of body literacy and herbal abortion and abortion in general are linked, intricately linked. I think especially if we're talking about like, I mean, there's so many ways to bring herbs into an abortion, and like having supportive therapies and steams or herbal baths. But in the sort of narrow lens of herbal abortions, like herbs have a pretty small window of when they're going to be effective, right? So like maybe at conception, like, yeah, like you're saying, like condom broke, okay, that's a really good time to start and to have some knowledge around that. Or maybe up to like a week after your missed menses, right? So knowing your body is going to be really important. Like you have to have this level of intimacy and comfort with your own body and like knowing your cycle and be like, oh, I'm ovulating and the condom broke, or like I'm ovulating, didn't use a condom, or like my like symptoms that I usually get a few days before my period aren't here, or my boobs hurt, or I'm super hungry and I'm not usually like this, or I'm not craving, or I'm having weird cravings, like my temp is higher than normal, cervical mucus, like checking all of those things and like knowing where you're at, even doing like a self pelvic exam and like, this is what my cervix usually looks like. A pregnant cervix looks different. And so those can all be ways to sort of have this level of knowledge with our body, and like knowing those things about ourselves is going to open up all these different options and methods, potential methods for abortions or for terminating your pregnancy or bringing back your menses, whatever sort of language we want to use around that. And so, I think they're really important to know. One can't really go without the other. I think also just like that shift back, like one, the loss of autonomy and control over our reproductive bodies, or our working bodies, our productive and rest bodies, like all of that has been just sort of, it's been an attack on us for a really long time. And so realizing like our shift back to this like collective independence or this like individual bodily autonomy is going to be really slow and intentional. It should be really intentional. Like things like Texas happening and lots of people having this really strong, like visceral reaction is very human. It's very normal, but also like it doesn't, those reactions don't necessarily get us where we want to go in the long run. And so building back new and learning from all of our mistakes and acknowledging history, and having that sort of like our bodies are, that's our base, that's our foundation, is like having knowledge of our bodies. And that is a power that no one is going to be able to take from us once we have that, right? And so if we can hold ourselves and hold one another, right, and support each other, it's going to matter less and less what these old dusty white dudes, all these old white politicians want to pass, right? And even like beyond the political realm and into even just like the medical realm, like there's a lot of institutionalized racism within the medical system, and there's a lot of like, yeah, that patriarchal mindset, like they haven't believed people who bleed and people who have uteruses, they don't believe our symptoms. And when people go in, they might be misgendered or outright abused, right? And so if we can, if we have the option and the ability to be leaning back into our communities for our safety and for like with folks who have like experience that you trust, that you've built relationships with and that have some resources and can support you, like, yeah, we're just, we're going to be a lot less dependent on the ebbs and flows of whatever mind games politicians want to be playing with us, you know? Yeah, it's, I've also, because of that, and I don't know, just doing sort of digging into the history and trying to understand like the longer history of abortions, I've also been thinking a lot this week about how, like how powerful for us and how threatening for these huge institutions to watch this very private, personal decision about when or how to reproduce to be totally taken out of the male gaze, right? Like when, you know, it's pretty recent history since this came into like clinical medical care. And as soon as it did, it was basically like, okay, now we have to ask permission in order to do this. And it's under this gaze and it's under this judgment. And like, you know, there might be exceptions that you're allowed to do, or, you know, initially it was like married women couldn't get abortions, but unmarried could. And like, I don't know, like all these barriers, and to be watching, you know, knowledge come back and also better, you know, and accessible and affordable medications being made available, right? Where like, yeah, we don't have to ask anyone's permission and we can take care of one another. And like, oh, that has to just has to hurt them. And that makes me happy.
Yeah, definitely. It is so threatening, you know, for the system, it, you know, to for people to have control over our bodies. It's scary how much control they want. And yeah, it is really liberating to think about how we can reclaim that control with plants in so many ways and with community and with support. You have so many awesome offerings. I know you work individually with folks, as you stated, for donation to be accessible. And then I also mentioned briefly already about your Grow Your Own Abortion zine about using plants to support in menstrual extraction or prevention. Do you want to talk a little bit about the material you have available and how folks can get it and why you chose to make it?
Yeah. So I love making zines. It's got sort of, definitely art and creation is a healing process for me. So it's such a joy when I get to create things. And then it's always like a little surprising when people are like want to buy it or are interested in it. Cause I'm like, oh, this was just like, this felt so good for me to make. And they're like, oh, we want one of those. And I was like, oh, you do. Okay. There's a couple of like the mini zines. Like I said, there's an abortion timeline that goes back to, it sort of folds out as a long timeline, goes back to 3,000 years ago when we've actually unearthed some medical texts that do talk about herbal abortifacients, contraception, right? So it's just this long timeline. And then there's another mini zine for just like a quick guide on like a self-pelvic exam. And that can be another very sort of liberating experience to take what feels like such a medical experience and often a very unpleasant medical experience. Really look for yourself. The most recent thing that we made was the Grow Your Abortion zine. And yeah, that had been just brewing for me for a really long time. I would love to see it blossom into, you know, demonstrative gardens and like really look at, really start building these relationships, rebuilding these relationships with plants that have been in our history, in our ancestral lines for a really long time. Those are some of the offerings, and then kind of digging into the, you know, Grow Your Abortion zine, which is a lot more extensive than the other like mini zines. I found that when people are talking one about abortion, but again, zoomed in on this focus of herbal abortions, it's so polarized. It's like super romanticized and being like, oh yes, like I'm just so connected with the plants, right? Or it's like, no, this is so dangerous. Why would anybody do that? Like it's killed people, right? And you know, it's like with most things that we try to paint as black and white, like it's actually a lot more nuanced than that. I also wanted to highlight, like, herbs can work. They do work, and they don't have to be dangerous or life-threatening, right? But we can also be honest and say, like, they don't work as well as the medication that's available, or even aspiration. They aren't going to be as quick. They aren't going to be as convenient, right? But at the end of the day, like, sometimes that's not the most important thing that someone's looking for, right? Like, they still might choose that with that full knowledge, because they're looking for a sort of level of engagement and like that autonomy over their process. And I think it's beautiful. And I think I wanted to encourage this sort of exploration and learning for ourselves what does and doesn't work, and like do it in like a safe framework. And the info that's out there with some like herbal formulas, I look at them and be like, whoa, no, that's doesn't feel safe at all. Or that wouldn't even work. Like, how would that work? Right. And so that was a big motivation. And like, one of the applications that I applied here that I really took in when I was doing like my herbal studies. It was like, you know, we don't have herbs that treat, well, one, you can't treat anything, right? Legal jargon, you're not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
We don't have herbs to stop the flu. What we have is like herbs to encourage fever in the body so that the fever can stop the flu. Or we have herbs that can soothe a dry cough. Or, you know, it's more about like working with the structures and the systems in the body and understanding like, okay, in order for like what happens in the body when there's a miscarriage, right? What are the actions that are going on in the body? And then you find herbs that fulfill those actions. And there's a lot of herbs for each of the actions that are sort of medically or physiologically necessary, right? But yeah, it's like, it's such an interesting combination of like, yes, here's a formula, right? These are the actions that are necessary. Find some herbs that fit into those. Pick your herbs based on what you have experience with, what your ancestral background is, what you have access to. And also, even if you have all of these things, then it still like might not work, you know, like we're finding like, even you can't treat it like this medical, like, here you go, take this, it will override your body systems, right? Like, one, herbs are encouraging and promoting actions, not really overriding anything. And yeah, it's like that the formula is part of it, timing is part of it, the amount of time, but it's just, it's not just those things, right? It's also like your intention and patience and prayer and rest and like really, you know, when we're seeing it be effective, it's like people are like really giving their all into it. And, you know, our culture doesn't really provide space for a lot of people to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just being really realistic and give some like tangible knowledge and tools so that people can make those decisions is part of what the zine does. It's super compact. You know, I'm only talking about, I think there's 10 herbs highlighted that are generally safe and, you know, have a higher efficacy or like, yeah, more efficient or not efficient, but effective. But there's a ton of herbs that fit these categories, right? Mm-hmm. And it has some sections about how to actually grow them, because I think that's going to be really important too. It's like, the more we talk about this and bring the knowledge out of this, the more, you know, systems are going to try and clamp down and make things less accessible and less easy. So like, let's start, you know, growing, let's start communing with these plants, because that's a big part of also like how they work, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the Grow Your Portion zine and sort of why and what it has in there. But yeah, it's been a really great experience of just like seeing people interested and building community off of it and hearing people's stories and experiences. Yeah, it's been really great.
Yeah, amazing. I love the resource that you've created. And, you know, so much comes to mind as you're speaking just about what works, what doesn't, you know, and like your own story and the formula that you have for creating a formula. And that's been one thing I think is it, not to say that in the Western modern medicine model, which has saved many lives and been like extremely helpful in so many ways, it's not to say, you know, that especially when we're talking about autoimmune stuff or like mental health issues, there's so many challenges in finding a lot of times a regimen of treatment that works. And that's no different in the herbal world. Like, not every herb is going to affect every person differently, which is kind of why, you know, again, like, I don't have a huge body of knowledge around herbal abortion but I do have a pretty decent amount. I would say like I have a decent amount, a pretty good amount of knowledge around it. And what I know is that things are really, and even just like flower essences and herbal formulas for anxiety, like things that are really common that people come to herbalism for a lot, like everything is going to affect the individual's body differently. And it goes back to this colonial structure in which being in relationship with our own bodies is something that we're not even encouraged to do. So then that was like, for me, the process of learning about herbs starting really with 10 years ago. I mean, starting before that, but really catalyzed by that experience that I had with my attempt at an herbal abortion 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, was just like that acknowledgement of like knowing your body first is the most important thing. To be able to even know the way that different herbs are going to affect us, because what works for someone isn't going to work for everyone, which is sort of a model for like all things in this lifetime.
Right. Yeah. And we should be maybe a little leery of things that do work for everybody in all ways. Like,
yeah.
Why, how, that doesn't seem. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially claims of that. If anyone claims that. So if folks are interested in working with you, learning more about your work, and picking up any of the info, like material zines that you've created, where can they find you and how can they support your work?
Cool. Well, so I'm terrible at self-promotion, but I will tell people, I suppose. we do have a lot of information on Instagram. There's a lot of sort of informational and educational posts around general support and ways that we can be more like the sort of doula support and emotional. And there's a lot of info on flower essences. There's some historical and social and political info, as well as like, how do you prep the body and which herbs are good for prep and, you know, which herbs are good for afterwards. So that's all available as a free resource, and definitely encourage folks to jump on there and share it and save it and, you know, do what we can to bust through the bullshit algorithm so the info can get out to more people. Yeah. Those are just like free ways that we can do it. There is a Patreon, and on it there's, you know, there's kind of a more extensive herbal chart that does address which herbs have which of the sort of necessary actions for an abortion. But also it's more there for folks who are able and would like to just support the work in general, like making it available still feels, yeah, it's very important. So if people want to jump onto Patreon and support us monthly, that's super helpful. There's always like projects in the background and like waiting to get sort of the finances to move forward with. And yeah, there's, you know, people can reach out through Instagram if they want some support, if they have questions about their upcoming abortion. And then, you know, we'll probably move to a different platform from there. But yeah, those are a couple ways. And yeah, please, if folks can, it's like, because we do things at either a no cost or donation, it's like, yeah, some people, it's almost like it's like if they get one and they can afford it, they'll pay for the support for the next person. And I always like think that's a really beautiful sort of passing it along. But yeah, that's sort of our options right now. We are looking at trying to like onboard additional abortion doulas who would want to support folks as well. Still kind of figuring out kinks in that, but if folks are interested, please reach out to us. We love to collaborate and, yeah, build connections. Like, this is, yeah, having these relationships, and I'm also working on ways to pull it off of Instagram. We learned a couple weeks ago with its crash about like, how do we make sure that we can maintain these outside of these structures that could fail us at any time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You have a TikTok also, right? I've seen like some of your posts have the TikTok on it.
You've been paying attention.
Yeah, I just started a TikTok also. I'll have to find you on there. Yeah, definitely diversifying from Instagram. Instagram continues to like, it's just on like a downward spiral of how reliable it is. And on an upward spiral of how corrupt and terrible it is. So
sure.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I definitely want to include some of the references that you had in the show notes. So I'll get that info from you after. But yeah, thank you so much, Dana, for having this conversation with me, for sharing all of this knowledge, and also just for your commitment to this work in the world. Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, where a pledge of $5 or more per month gets you access to extra content and helps support the production of the show. And go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. You can also check out the website for tarot readings and apothecary and other offerings. Thanks so much, y'all. See you next time.